I'm going to read from the 116th Psalm for our scripture reading. My Bible, it's entitled Thanksgiving for Deliverance from Death. And I'll start in verse 8. It says, "For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I spoke. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord." And all God's people said, Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for the hope that it gives us. And Lord, as we come to it, I pray that it would we would be encouraged, Lord, and that you would speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We are in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So grab your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If you need a Bible, there's a whole stack back there. Sometimes people tell me, "I need a Bible." You are free to take one of those. Take it home if you want. They're there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And as I said a couple weeks ago, this is one sermon and I split it into two. So 3 points. We did 1.5 points last time. We'll do 1.5. Finish up the second point this morning and move on to the third point. This whole passage is about hope. Paul mentions several times that we do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. What does that mean? We have hope. We have hope. We have great hope. And so this whole passage, this whole chapter is about hope. And if you remember last time, our first point was hope for ministry. He mentions that in verse 1. It says, "Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart." We have hope. And if you remember, I've been emphasizing this over and over. We are all ministers of Jesus Christ. If you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, if you know him as your Lord and Savior, if you've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, you are a minister of Jesus Christ. And we have this great hope in the midst of ministry. And we have received mercy by the sacrifice of Christ for us to redeem us. God has shown us his mercy. And so in ministry, as ministers of Jesus Christ, as those who represent Jesus Christ in everyday living, in everywhere that God has us, we have hope. We have great hope. In the midst of the world that we live in, we have hope as ministers of Jesus Christ. And so God has each of us where we need to be. God has each of us. He has people around us that we need to represent Christ to. Each and every one of us. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. It doesn't matter what your education level is. Right? Those things don't matter. You are a minister of Jesus Christ. And so in the midst of that, we have this great hope. Then we also have hope as vessels, beginning in verse 7. So I'll reread this part just as a refresher. Hope as vessels, verse 7. It says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our body. For we who live are always delivered to the death of Jesus for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you." And so, by way of reminder, Paul here calls us vessels, right? And that's talking about pottery. In Paul's day, pots were common. They used them for everything. Modern day analogy would be a grocery bag, right? Plastic grocery bag. They use them for all kinds of stuff. And that's kind of the thought. There's not a lot of value in it in of itself, but there's value in what it can be used for. And so Paul says we're these vessels. The value is a just common, everyday, earthen vessel. Nothing real special about it. What's special is the treasure. Right? What it contains, what's inside. A relationship with Jesus Christ, the knowledge of truth. Right? We are full of this treasure. And so then, knowing that, we face these different things. And we talked about the Greek words and talked about all these things a couple weeks ago. But reminder, just right, we are hard pressed. There is all this pressure. There's great pressure. And yet we are not broken. Right? We are not crushed. We endure. Why? Because of Christ, because of the treasure. We are perplexed, which means to doubt, to hesitate, not knowing how to proceed. There are times when we just, right, there is doubt, there is hesitation. We don't always know what the next step is, and yet in the midst of that, we do not despair. We don't despair. We are persecuted. That word means repeated acts of enmity. So it's that person, right? That person who has made it their mission to make your life miserable. I don't know if you've ever had one of those. It's fun, right? Right? That person, right? Who is there to make your life absolutely miserable. And part of persecution, certainly when we think of those who have been persecuted for their faith, is isolation. Right? It makes someone feel like you're alone. No one cares about you. It's just you. Everyone else thinks something else. You right? Capitulate. Just give up. You don't need Jesus. Renounce your faith. But what's Paul say here? We are not forsaken. We're not forsaken. We are not alone in those times. We have Jesus Christ. We have that treasure that is within us. And then he uses the word struck down, which just means laid low, thrown down. We are flat on our faces with nothing to stand on. We are cast down. And yet Paul says here, we are not destroyed. Not destroyed, not in the least. Why? Because of the treasure that we have. What is inside? Is it anything about us? Is there anything special about us individually? No. But what is the treasure that we have, the power that is inside. And Paul then talks about here the dying of Jesus, that he certainly sacrificed himself for us. He endured death for us so that we might have life. And so what is this treasure that we have? It is the power of resurrection. It is the power of life, and that is manifested in us and through us. And so Paul says we live, we are in this process of being made alive, we are delivered up for death. That Greek word was used when someone was transferred from prison to the care of the executioner. Delivered up. Dead man walking. About to cease in existence, right? They're about to die. They're about to be executed. That's the word Paul uses here, right? We are delivered up for death. That thought of being transferred to be executed for the sake of Jesus. As we've talked about before, certainly our purpose here on this earth is to glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in everything that we do, with everything that we say, with everything that we think, and all of it, that we glorify Christ. And a life of glory is hard. It is hard. It's difficult. And so Paul uses this thought of death, and I think that resonates in a whole bunch of different levels. Certainly there is the death of self. Jesus taught this over and over. That we must crucify the flesh and the desires of the flesh. Right, there's the death of who I am. There's the death of my identity. There's the death of my desires and my wants. The death of my purpose, what I purpose my life should be. Dead. Living in submission to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what He wants for my life, that I might glorify Him. That my identity and my purpose and everything would be about glorifying Him. And so there's this death of self. Certainly that is part of it. But as Paul is talking to these believers in Corinth, they were facing the reality of being martyred. Of being physically put to death for their faith in Jesus Christ. That was a real thing. And so Paul is encouraging them here. You have this as these vessels that are fragile. You have hope because of your relationship with Jesus Christ. Even as you face that moment of being delivered to the executioner,
You have hope.
He says, but, in the midst of all these things, Jesus is made known. Jesus is made known through worthless pots. That's so cool. Right? That's so cool, right? Because it's not about us, it's about Him. And so we are in this process of dying, and yet Paul says, you have life. We think of the sacrifice that Paul made in order to bring them the gospel. He's trying to remind them of that. And later on, he will describe all of the things that he went through and all the suffering that he went through so that they might have the gospel and they might know Jesus Christ. And so it reminds us, right? We are dying. We are suffering. We are in submission to Christ. We are putting to death ourselves. And we are in reality facing the very real possibility of death so that you might know Jesus because of our love for you so that you would have life. At what cost was the gospel brought to you? I don't know if you've ever thought about that. We are so used to it. We have this. We have churches all over the place. Right? But at what cost? Do you ever think about that? Of all those who gave their lives and gave up of themselves so the gospel could be preached to the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. And so Paul says here, in ministry we have hope. As vessels, we have great and wonderful hope. And then certainly on that thought of death, we have hope in death. Our last point this morning, hope in death, verse 13. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. You also believed and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For a light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Paul says we have this same spirit, we have this same faith, the same spirit of faith. Paul never claimed to be more spiritual than the church at Corinth, right? Even though he called them carnal. And in 1 Corinthians, right, he was pretty harsh on them. But he reminds them here with his exact same faith. The faith that we have in Christ, there's not different levels of faith. Faith isn't about amount of faith. It's about who your faith is in. And so Paul says our faith is in Christ. And so in that, we also have the same assurance. It's not different levels of spirituality, different levels of faith. It is exactly the same. We are all equal. And so Paul then quotes, he says, I believed in verse 11 there. Verse 13. I believed and therefore I spoke. And I read that for our scripture reading, the 116th Psalm, out of the 116th Psalm. And so Paul often, right, he will quote, he'll just throw a few words out there. Quote from the Old Testament, quote from the Psalms. And he means way more than what he quotes, right? He expects that we would know the context. He expects that we would go back and look at the context of those words, for sure. He expects the reader, the church at Corinth, that they would go back and understand that Paul doesn't go through and waste words here as far as, you know, as he's writing this down. He doesn't quote the whole psalm. He doesn't need to. He just quotes a little bit. That we would understand and know that the psalmist, as he is there praising God, he was facing death. He was facing hard circumstances. He was in this place where he didn't know if he would continue on or not. But yet, in the midst of that, he glorified God. And he continues to proclaim his faith in God, even in the face of death itself. And he even says, one of my favorite lines there, is precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And so in the midst of that, there is hope. And so Paul quotes that. He says, right, out of faith, out of belief, we spoke. I believe, therefore I spoke. And he says, we also believe and therefore speak. Again, Paul had many that accused him of all kinds of things. And he does defend himself a little bit. We've seen him doing that earlier in this letter. And he's kind of continuing along that theme a little bit. Certainly encouraging the believers at Corinth. Encouraging them in their hope and the things that they're facing. But also remind them, why is it that I brought you the gospel? Because I believe it. I faced death. I believed it. And so I spoke. I pronounced words that proclaimed who the Lord is, who God is, who Jesus is, because I believe it. And I have endured great suffering because of that, and yet I'm still proclaiming Jesus Christ. And so in the face of death, there is great hope. And so he says here, we know, we have faith, we are confident that Christ certainly was raised up, and we are raised up with Christ to new life. It may not seem like all this is for our good, but in the midst of that, God is glorified. So Paul again used that line, right? We do not lose heart. We do not lose heart. In the midst of great difficulty, we do not lose heart at all. We have this hope. And then he says this, the outward man is perishing. I think we all know this. Right? Yeah, especially when you turn 40, right? Yeah. Or beyond. Maybe earlier. The outward man is perishing. And modern medicine is great and wonderful and can replace our hip and our shoulders and everything, but it cannot prevent you from dying. It cannot. As much as they would like to. It can't. You will die. That's a foregone conclusion. Yeah, this body is perishing. We are all, right? We all understand that. We understand, right? This is falling apart. Even if you were to live a life without any kind of stress and eat healthy, right, never have any kind of trauma or anything ever happen to you, you would still die. And then put on top of that stress and injury and all kinds of other things, right? And it just kind of perpetuates that farther. This man is perishing. It is. We are falling apart. There's death at the end of the road. And yet Paul says here, the inward man. Right? Because this is just, right, a vessel, a body. Beginning of verse or chapter 5, Paul calls it a tent. This is nothing. Who you really are is your spirit, is your soul, and the inward man is being renewed every day. Day by day. Why? Because we have hope. Why? Because we have this treasure, this relationship with Jesus Christ. And certainly we are indwelt by the Spirit of God. We have the Word of God, the very words of God that declare to us salvation, that declare to us who God is, declare to us who we are, declare to us where we came from, declare to us how precious life is, and declare to us that God loves us and gave His only Son for us, right? We have that. We have this treasure. We have prayer. We have a connection with God. So Paul says, yes, the outward is perishing, but day by day, right? Day by day, it's not a one-time thing. It's not a one-time thing. We are renewed day by day, every moment, every day, as we live in submission to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we need to remember that. It's every day. Every day in His Word. Every day on our knees in prayer. Every day seeking, oh Lord, I have my plans for today, but Your will, right? In the midst of, right, what I have, what I in my job and everything, Lord, that You would be glorified. We are renewed every day. And then He calls the things that we have to deal with in this life, He calls them our light affliction. Our light affliction. Why? Because it's just temporary. It's not going to last forever. We think of the things that Paul went through. The things that Paul had to endure physically. The beatings. The stonings. The hateful words that people said to him. Right? All of it. Everything. Right? All of it that Paul had to endure. And he just calls it, man, just a light affliction. Later on, Paul will talk about the thorn in the flesh. Right? Everybody gets excited about that. But just this thought, there was something in Paul's life, whatever that thorn was, there was something in Paul's life that God told him, yeah, you're probably going to have this for the rest of your life. It's okay, deal with it. My grace is sufficient for you. And so Paul still says it's a light affliction. Right? It's a light affliction. Even though he knew this thing that was bothering him, whatever it was, he was not going to be healed of, or it wasn't going to be removed. It would probably be with him until the day he died. And he was like, I'm okay with that. Because God, certainly his grace is sufficient. And so Paul says these things, these trials, the things that we deal with in this life, it is a light affliction because we have this hope. We know this life is just temporary. It is just for a moment. But in the midst of those things, we are being brought closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so he says here, focus on that which is eternal. The eternal treasure, not the earthly treasure. And the heavenly treasure, the eternal treasure, we can't see it. It's eternal. It's not physical. It's not of this world. The things that are temporary are the things that we can see and touch and smell and experience right here and now. It's just temporary though. But we have this great hope, and our hope is not in things that we know will perish, but our hope is in things that we know are eternal. And so here's the thing. Here's where the battle is. The battle is in the heart and in the mind. Always has been, always will be. It's not about the physical. It's about what we believe. It's about what we trust in. It's about what we know to be true and thinking rightly about those things. We live in a world that has gone crazy. Gone just nuts. And what's the battle? It's in the mind. And because they have followed false beliefs and false teachings and proclaimed there is no God. And you came from a monkey. And life has absolutely no value because you're just by happen chance and no one cares. Right? Because of that, what is our world doing? It's falling apart. But we have the truth. We know who God is. We know that He loves us. We know that we are a special creation of His. And He knows each of us by name. And He loves each of us so much that He gave His only begotten Son to die for each of us that we might have eternal life. We know that to be true. And so we believe it. We trust in that. And so that's where the battle is. It's not about accomplishing this or that, or having great notoriety, or having the praise of men. No. It's about who you know. It's about what your faith is in. That's where the battle is. In that which is not seen, that which is eternal. Because we are told who our God is. We are told that He is righteous and He is good. And when He makes promises, He never fails. And we can believe it and we can trust in it. I like to ask the kids, youth group, how powerful is God? All powerful. Is there anything that God doesn't know? Oh yeah. No. Right? He knows everything. Hey, there's nothing. Nothing He doesn't know. Is there anything that God cannot do? No, there's nothing God cannot do. Really? Can God lie? No. Can God deceive you? No. It's not in His character. It's not in His nature. It's not who He is. Because we know He is righteous. We know He is good. And so we can believe that. We lie. We deceive. But not God. And so we have this great and wonderful hope because we have certainly the promises of God. And so in the midst of whatever ministry, wherever God has us, that we might glorify Him and represent Him to those around us, we have hope. As vessels that are just fragile, right? Life is fragile. We have hope. As we face death, we have hope. And we're reminded here that our purpose is not to glorify ourselves. It is not about seeking our own comfort as far as pleasing ourselves in this world, but it is about glorifying our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I do want to remind you that you are of great value. You are of great value. Because God sent His Son to die on a cross for you. The most precious thing, the most valuable thing, the thing that can, right, there's no price that can be put on the value of Jesus. His life was given in exchange for you. You are of great value. And God loves you and He desires to have a relationship with you. And so by faith, we accept God's gift of salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. And so because we have that value, what then is expected of us? A life that then is given to glorify Him, not ourselves. Not ourselves, but to glorify Him. I just have this thought of treasure. What good is treasure if we hoard it? What good is treasure if we don't spend it? What value does it have? None. I have a house. Built it 5 years ago. I don't own it. The bank owns it, right? But I'm making payments the rest of my life. Someday maybe I'll own it. Supposedly, it has great equity. Probably double the value that was spent on it to build it. Do I have that? No. Can I spend that? Not really. It's only worth that if somebody's willing to spend money on that, right? An object only has as much value as someone is willing to pay for it. And you have that great value. Because God willingly sacrificed His Son for you. And so in exchange for that, and in light of that, what are we spending our lives on? Ourselves or in His service? And certainly we're reminded that our hope in all these things, our hope is in Christ. He is central to that. Something I've been thinking about, maybe this is off topic, but I think it does tie in here. As we think about our lives, as we think about this desire to serve Christ in humility, what is it that the sin of someone else, right? Someone else's offense, someone else's sin, what is that exposing in my life, right? In our lives? And I just bring that up. Because I see this at times, not always, but I see this at times. Sometimes we can be offended. Sometimes we can be upset because someone has sinned. Someone's been unfaithful. Maybe someone's lied. Maybe someone's deceived us. Maybe someone's taken advantage of us. But even in the midst of that, God uses it to expose things in our hearts. Maybe we are self-righteous. Maybe there's some pride there. Maybe God is using that in your life to show us things that we need, right? We need to deal with. I'm not making an excuse for sin. I'm not making an excuse or saying, hey, I'm not at all. But I am saying, I think sometimes we allow our pride and our self-righteousness to rule. And God exposes that. That we would live in humility to Him. And I always come back to this thought, is Jesus enough? I know I say this over and over, but I think it's important. Is Jesus enough? And when everything is stripped away, everything that's important to us, friends, family, wealth, our health, when all of that is taken away, do we still have joy? In our relationship with Jesus Christ, do we hang on to that no matter what? And so this morning I ask, do you have hope? Do you have hope? Do you have assurance? Do you have comfort? Unfortunately, there's a bunch of people whose joy and happiness is riding on election. Who cares? No, I mean, I care. As a patriot, as an American, I care. But as a follower of Jesus, who wins is not going to rock my hope, right? Or my joy, or my, right? I certainly have a candidate that I vote for and that I'm hoping wins just for the sake of my country. But God's in control, and He has it. My goal is to walk faithfully in this life as He would have me walk. And so this morning, do you have hope? Do you have assurance? Do you have that wonderful comfort in knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior and having a wonderful relationship with Him that is renewed every day and every moment? Do you have that? The Scriptures tell us that Christ gave Himself. He was sacrificed. He died for our sins. That we might be cleansed of our sin. We know He rose again the third day, victorious over death, victorious over sin. And because of that, we have hope. And we are offered this gift of salvation. It is free to us. It cost the life of Jesus Christ. But it is offered freely to whoever will believe. You have to believe. You have to trust. And so this morning, do you? Do you have that hope? Do you have that assurance in knowing my faith is in Christ and Christ alone, and that's what it's based in? There's nothing that can shake that. I have it. We are these mere vessels, but within this vessel is our great treasure. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for Your word. I just pray, O Lord, that we'd be encouraged. I know this week there's a lot of things going on. Some of those things may be discouraging. Some of those things may be encouraging. But, O Lord, in the midst of all that, I pray that our hope would be securely in You. I pray, O Lord, certainly for our country. And the only hope we have is a revival, or is people turning their hearts to know You, right thinking, in truth, and knowing the truth about who they are, about who You are. As we of a nation have rejected You, have rejected even the knowledge of You, O Lord, we are reaping what we have sown. But, O Lord, we ask for grace and we ask for Your mercy. We ask that people who have rejected You, that, O Lord, You would shine Your light into their hearts, that they would come to know You, that they would glorify Your name, that they would become Your children. Oh Lord, I pray that You would help us to be a light. I pray as we walk from this place, oh Lord, I pray that certainly we would glorify You in everything we do, in everything we say, in our interactions with everyone around us. I pray, oh Lord, we would be honest. I pray, oh Lord, that we would show who You are. We would represent You well. In Jesus' name, amen. As we close our service, let's stand and sing our last song.